Hello, I'm Ray Comfort. I'm sure you're aware that the movie The Da Vinci Code was based on the best-selling novel of the same name. The reason it became a bestseller is that its intriguing story contains both action and mystery. If you're not familiar with the story, it's about a professor who's in Paris for a conference and becomes swept up in a murder, in a religious conspiracy, and in a hunt for clues revolving around paintings by Leonardo da Vinci. As he and a friend run from police and follow clues, they meet someone who tells them that they're on the trail of one of the most ancient cover-ups ever perpetrated by religious authorities. These religious leaders are trying to hide a secret about the true identity of Jesus of Nazareth. The secret is that Jesus was actually married to Mary Magdalene and still has royal descendants who are alive today. That would mean that Christianity has been wrong all these years when it comes to who Jesus really was. He wasn't the Son of God as they believe, but simply a wise man that lived in Palestine. The story goes that no one actually thought he was divine, that is, until another religious faction of Christians who believed in his divinity found a place of religious leadership. Then, in AD 325, the Roman Emperor Constantine called together the Council of Nicaea, where members voted to make Jesus the divine Son of God. At the same time, the secrets about Jesus were censored from the pages of the New Testament. As the story progresses, the main characters find out just how far religious leaders will go to hide this skeleton in the closet. It's an intriguing story, but did it really happen? Did Jesus marry Mary Magdalene and have children? Was he merely a wise man from Palestine, or was he the divine Son of God? To answer that, I'm going to ask you a question that may seem a little off track, but it'll make sense when we come back to the issue of who Jesus really was. Here's the question. What is your concept of God? What do you think God is like? Is he good? Imagine there's a judge in Florida who turns a blind eye to the workings of the mafia. When someone is viciously killed, he simply looks the other way. Is that judge good? No, he's corrupt, and he should be brought to justice himself. So if God is good, he must do everything he can to make sure that justice is done, or he would be corrupt. That makes sense. Now, do you know that between the years 1990 and the year 2000, there were 200,000 murders in the United States? 200,000 people were murdered. Did you know that there's only a 50% success rate in homicide convictions? That means that during that 10-year period, 100,000 murderers got away with murder. And they will get away with it right up until the time they stand before God. The Bible tells us that God is good, and because of his goodness, he'll make sure that justice is eventually done. He will punish murderers, and they'll be sent to God's prison, a place called hell. And if you have lost a loved one through murder, no doubt you'll rejoice that that will happen. But God is so good, he'll also punish rapists, and thieves, and liars, and adulterers, and fornicators. That is, those who've had sex out of marriage. Here's a question. How will you do on Judgment Day? Have you ever lied, even once? Or have you stolen, regardless of its value? If you said yes, then you have admitted that you're a lying thief. Did you know the Bible says if you hate someone, you are a murderer? And Jesus said whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked with lust? Have you ever hated someone? Have you ever used God's name in vain? If you have, that's called blasphemy. And the Bible says the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So think of it. If God gives you justice on the day of judgment, you'll be guilty and no doubt end up in hell. And that's not God's will. The Bible says God is rich in mercy, and he made a way for you to be forgiven. God became a human being and filled that body as a hand fills a glove. The Bible says of Jesus, he was the express image of the invisible God. And the reason God became a man is because God is spirit, and being a spirit, he could not die. He had to have a body to suffer and die for the sin of the world. And when Jesus was on the cross, he took the punishment for the sins that you and I had committed. He paid our fine in his life's blood. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then he rose from the dead. He burst from the grave. The Bible says it was not possible that death could hold him. The scriptures say Jesus Christ has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So through his suffering, death, and resurrection, God can now dismiss your case. He can commute your death sentence. He can allow you to live because of what Jesus did on the cross. So what you must do is repent. That means don't just confess your sins to God, confess and forsake them. Turn from all sin and trust in Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit as you trust in a parachute. You don't just believe in a parachute, you put it on and trust yourself to it. And the Bible says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The moment you do that, the scriptures promise you'll pass from death into life. So if Jesus was not the Son of God, if he was simply a wise man who lived in Palestine, who never claimed to be God, you are in big trouble. Big trouble. Because if you die in your sins and God gives you justice, you'll end up in hell forever. And if the Da Vinci Code is true, there's no Savior. Just a dead wise man from Palestine. That means you are absolutely without hope. But listen to what the New Testament says about Jesus. There's a story in, I think it's the Gospel of John, where temple guards were sent out by the religious leaders to arrest him. And they came back empty-handed. And they said, "Where is he?" And the temple guards said this. They said, "Never a man spoke like this man. Never a man said the things that this man said." And it's true. You listen to his words. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." He said, "I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst." He said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." He said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming when all that are in their grave shall hear my voice." He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." He said amazing statements like, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." And you go back to the Old Testament, and when God spoke to Moses about delivering the children of Israel from Egypt, Moses said to God, "Who shall I say sent me?" And God said, "Tell them, I am has sent you." By calling himself I am, God was revealing that he's not bound by time. He's eternal. He's not I was or I will be. God just is. That's why he calls himself I am. Now look at John chapter 8 verse 56. The Jews were accusing Jesus, and this is what he said to them. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, 'You're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?' Jesus said to them, 'Verily, verily, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.' Then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." Jesus claimed to be God in human form. The scriptures say Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus spoke many times of his own pre-existence, before his birth on earth. He said things like, "I am come down from heaven." And 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 tells us, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." The New Testament claims that Jesus Christ was God in human form. God created him for himself, a body, for the express image of dying for the sin of the world. So how can you know if this is true? Well, here's your answer. John chapter 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You can know the truth by disciplining yourself to Jesus Christ. Be born again, be converted, turn from your sins and trust in the Savior, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And Jesus himself said in John 14, 21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved of my Father. I too will love him and reveal myself to him." So how can you know the New Testament is true? Simple. Just study the incredible prophecies of its pages. They will prove to you that the New Testament is indeed the Word of Almighty God and therefore trustworthy. 2,000 years ago, the New Testament clearly predicts certain signs will show those who are interested when what is called the end of the age will come. Here are those signs. There would be earthquakes happening in different parts of the world. Increased violence. Nation would rise against nation. There'd be wars. A breakdown of the institution of marriage. Famines. Increase in vegetarianism. Outbreaks of disease. People having a mere form of godliness. Money-hungry preachers deceiving multitudes. Slurring the name of Christianity. A general denial of a worldwide flood despite the evidence. And skeptics saying these signs have always been around. But the sign to watch for is the Jews possessing Jerusalem. the Jews obtained Jerusalem in 1967 after being without a homeland for 2,000 years, bringing into culmination all these signs of the times. Fulfilled prophecies, which were written 2,000 years ago, prove beyond a doubt the New Testament is indeed the Word of God. So if you choose not to believe the warnings from its pages, and instead believe the fantasies of the Da Vinci Code, then go ahead. But know this, you have joined the Elvis is Alive Club. You're the wide-eyed, faithful tabloid customer filling the pockets of Hollywood and Dan Brown to be entertained. The choice, however, is yours. It's your life. Think it through carefully. There's nothing more important than where you'll spend eternity. So please, think for a moment why I'm talking to you like this. I don't want your money. I'm not saying join a church. I'm saying do something about your eternal salvation. Pray something like this. Dear God, I confess I'm a sinner. Thank you that Jesus took my punishment upon himself when he died on the cross for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day, defeating death. Today I repent of all my sin and place my trust in Jesus Christ. In his name I pray. Amen. Now go to livingwaters.com and click on Save Yourself Some Pain. There you'll find principles to help you grow as a Christian. And while you're there, please take a moment to listen to a message called Hell's Best Kept Secret. It's free and it's life-changing. Thank you for taking the time to listen.